League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, Patrick Van Straten, and this week I'm joined by Henry Hill. Hello, Henry. How are you?
Hello, Pat. Yeah, I'm good, mate. How are you? How are you doing?
I'm very well. To be honest with you, I've been struggling a little bit in August because I don't really want to do any work at the moment. And this week I had to come up with two podcast titles. So we have got a really odd grab bag of teams this week that we're going to try and fix. The teams that I've settled on: Atletico Madrid, perfectly normal, significant club. Southampton, don't know why. And then lastly, Roma. Because I just felt like we needed kind of three clubs from different leagues that we actually could find players for. And this, to be honest with you, I've got no inspiration.
This sounds like the group stage of a shocking preseason tournament. And I'm looking forward to sort of digging it.
These are the invitees to the Emirates Cup. Like that's what this looks like.
Kind of does. You know, it's interesting. You've got Southampton that, you know, look like they're really going somewhere and probably need a few replacements just to sort of bring them to that, to confirm them at that level, which they sort of hit at the end of the season.
Yes.
Atleti really just needs some creativity in there, don't we? I think we're going to look at that and potentially Thomas Partey departing. So we're going to go over just how maybe they could kind of re-inspire that midfield, which is quite clearly lagging at the moment. You know, I'm reading all sorts of articles about Simeone. Is this it? Is he over? And that kind of stuff. And then, yeah, I guess Roma, that's a bit of a mixed bag, really. I mean, they had a sort of mixed season. They still ended up in, the Europa League spot. So it's not all doom and gloom for them. But yeah, well, let's see what we can do to fix them too. So I'm excited for that.
Well, should we start with Atletico Madrid, seeing as they are, you know, by far the most significant of these teams? Like you said, I think Thomas Partey still linked with a move, though the longer that goes on, the less I imagine it's going to happen, unless Arsenal make some significant sales, because we haven't seen him linked with anyone else, which is kind of strange. Now, obviously, Partey, he's played kind of everywhere for them over the last few years, but really established himself in the last two seasons, I guess, as the deepest midfielder. And it's been an odd one this summer because Arsenal fans seem to be convinced that he's like one of the best midfielders in the world. And then there are other fans and some of the stats guys who are a little bit uncertain about it, I guess, because he's 27 and you're not going to get that many years out of a 27-year-old midfielder. You know, by the time they hit 31, they're going to be declining, right? I guess the issue is, like, Partey is a big defensive contributor and also is probably their best progressive passer out of the midfield. But on the other hand, I don't really feel like they're going to struggle to replace the defensive output because everybody in a Simeone team defends, right? So we were talking about Atleti needing a creative midfielder, potentially needing a Partey replacement. Do you have anybody for either of those two roles or somebody who could fill both of those roles?
Yeah, I guess the guy that's really sort of captured the imagination the last few weeks is Usam Aouar for Lyon. I thought he was awesome in the Champions League. I really enjoyed that Lyon side, actually. I thought they really they showed up for those big games. And honestly, against Bayern, if they could have just nicked a goal in the early stages, it could have been a slightly different semi-final. I still think they'd have lost. But yeah, but Aouar, he really showed his potential throughout the whole thing. I know he's heavily linked with Lyon, but we'll have a look at him anyway because you never know how these things could go. As we saw with João Felix last summer, Atletico can stump up the money when they want. So if we look at what Aouar could really bring to the side, so last season Partey was the only player to get over two dribbles a game. But yeah, Aouar was delivering three dribbles, so that's kind of the level that they need to get at in order to push the team forwards. Also, defensive output, he actually, although we associate Aouar with being more of an attacking player, he last season he was running at like two defensive contributions per game as well. In 17-18, that was up at four. So we can, you know, we can assume that he sort of changed as a player over time. But it shows that really when Simeone does ask him to defend, if he could be asked to like move back and progress with the ball from deep, then he would be able to do that because that was really how he's brought up. And also, I think he'll grow into his frame and be able to combat sort of the levels of Spanish football which is required. And yes, Aouar, I mean, let's face it, he didn't actually score as many as we previously thought. You know, 3 goals and 4 assists and 23 starts. But, you know, for a long time that season, I think Depay was out for a fair amount of it. I think Moussa Dembele was injured at certain points as well. So really, I think as long as Atletico do sign a centre-forward, because I refuse to accept that Alvaro Morata is a top-level centre-forward. I'm just, you know, the amount of money that's been paid for him is just outstanding considering his lack of goals on a consistent basis. So as long as they can kind of unleash a goal scorer up top, I think Aouar could be, he could be excellent within that side as well. And hopefully maybe complement João Félix and sort of bring the best out of him. So yeah, there's a lot of flair in his game. So it's exciting to hopefully see whether it's to Atletico Madrid or whether he goes to, you know, Juventus. It's exciting to see just how good he could be. But yeah, if I was Simeone, I mean, I'm not quite sure how much money they've got to splash this summer, but if I was Simeone, I'd definitely be looking at a player like him to push them on.
Yeah, well, I think the good thing about Aouar is if Partey goes, it'll be because someone's paid his release clause, right? Which is like 50 million euros. And reportedly, that is what Lyon want for Aouar. And so while they don't seem like similar players necessarily, like they are going to do similar things. Like, I think it's definitely right that Aouar is pretty versatile. Like, he can do the defensive stuff, but he's primarily somebody who's going to dribble through the midfield. And I think that when you look at his goal involvements, when Ndombele was still there, you know, like last season, yeah, only 7 goal involvements, but the season before it was 14. The season before that, it was 11. And for like a 20-year-old, then 21-year-old to get those numbers in a proper league is pretty impressive, really. And I don't know, I guess that when I look at a Simeone side, you see midfielders who are often required to play out wide. You see guys who are required to defend, but also to get forward in attack. Like, he does expect his players to contribute a little bit of everything through the middle of the park. And Aouar seems like a guy who can do that. Yeah, to me, this is the sort of signing that could really push them on. And you could imagine, you know, Saúl going back into central midfield and covering Partey's defensive role, or Hector Herrera doing that. And then Aouar having a little bit more freedom and pairing quite nicely with João Félix, who wants to go out to the right and Aouar wants to go out to the left. I mean, I see what you're saying about Morata, but is there a striker out there who you think would really suit Atleti and is gettable for them this summer?
I mean, because
they've been linked with Lacazette, right?
I don't think Lacazette's the answer. I really don't. I like Lacazette. I think he's actually quite a tidy finisher. But in terms of, I mean, they must be looking for a 20-goal-a-season striker at the moment, and I'm not sure Lacazette really, I mean, he's going to be 29? He's turning 29 this year. He's at least, you know, pushing on the end of his 20s. I'd be very surprised if he's who they went for. This is a bit of an outside chance, but I'd be intrigued to see someone like Odson Edouard, just see how good he really is. You know, that's one for all the Celtic fans out there. But he really is scoring lots for Celtic. And I think the Moussa Dembele move to Lyon has proven that it's not a market worth turning your nose up. You know, you can potentially get a good level striker at a bit less money. I think he's only about 22 as well. So I think that could be quite an interesting move if someone's going to take a chance on him to see, because he's already got 4-4 in the Scottish Premier League in the new season now it's begun. I'm not going to read too deeply into that, but depending on how much they're willing to spend on a top level forwards, I think that could be quite interesting. But yeah, I mean, for me, Morata just isn't really the one. And I saw apparently Juventus are considering trying to bring him back there as well. So I think if you could maybe cash in on that, then that would be a sensible move to go and reinvest the money into someone else.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because like right now they're looking at, I don't know, they're looking at extending Carrasco's loan for another year. And I just feel like they've got a lot of players who are quite limited in what they do. Like, I really like João Félix. He looks like he's going to be an excellent player for them. But he's not particularly creative. Like, there's no real evidence that he's going to turn into much of a creative player. Morata isn't creative either, whereas Edouard actually has loads of assists in Scotland as well, which is kind of interesting for them. Like, I think that when you look at that team, it is really hard to see where the creativity is coming from. And last summer, we saw them, like, interested in James Rodriguez. So I just feel like that's a role they need to fit. Because I was looking at a winger for them as well. And I thought that Munir Shuia could actually be quite interesting for them. Who had a really good season last year with Dijon. And apparently is available for 10 to 20 mil. which for a 21-year-old coming out of Ligue 1 is pretty impressive. And last year, I think he was creating 2.5 chances a game, which is a lot. I mean, it's about the same as Jadon Sancho. And while they're not of the same quality, from open play, that does suggest that he's got an eye for a pass and will probably get better at that as he gets a bit older. You know, bearing in mind that Dijon was 16th, they're only 3 points above relegation when the league was halted. Also, I mean, the guy was 8th in Europe for dribbles a match. Like, he had like 4 dribbles a game. So there you've got somebody who can beat a bunch of pressure, can pick a pass, can contribute defensively, because I think he had 3 tackles and interceptions a match, which for a young attacking winger is like very impressive too. I just kind of think that that's exactly the signing that Atletico should be making, because too often I find that we see them picking up, I don't know, like older, unfancied players. Like Diego Costa, Chelsea decide they don't want him anymore. Atleti say we'll have him back. You know, Hector Herrera, like perfectly serviceable player, but it's like, okay, this player's like coming on a free out of Portugal. We'll pick him up. Same with Felipe, even though Felipe's been good. I just think that these are, rather than doing that, they should be saying, like, who are the guys who are going to be the core of the next great Atletico side, rather than who are the guys who can give us 2 years decent service before we try and ship them off to, like, Brazil or something.
Yeah. No, I guess like, we talk a lot about Barcelona being pretty shocking in the transfer market, but Atletico have not been great either. When you really look at some of their big-profile signings, Thomas Lemar, they spent about 60 million euros on. He hasn't worked out. He's been an absolute flop, and I guess maybe that's where the hesitancy to jump back into the French market and go for maybe an unfancied French winger may be there for them. Thomas Lemar hasn't worked out. Diego Costa, they paid about 50 million for. He's really, I mean, they had like one season of good play out of him, and then he's just been a disaster since. And I also think Morata hasn't really put in the goal contributions of a player that you pay that about the 50, 60 million pound mark for. So when you look at Atletico, they've spent a lot of money on players that haven't really delivered. So I can see why they could be a little bit hesitant there. But yeah, I agree with you about Carrasco. I mean, I had a look at him yesterday. Obviously, at Dalian in China, he scored 17 times. But, you know, you'd expect that. That surely must have happened. And then when he came on loan, he didn't really do very much this year. I thought he looked quite... I watched him against Leipzig in the Champions League. And before João Felix came on, I thought he was probably the best player on the pitch for Atletico. But I do think he's a slightly limited. He hasn't really got that sort of... that speed down the wing to really sort of break through. And I'm never quite sure what I think of Carrasco, but I agree with you. I don't think extending the loan is a particularly sensible idea. I mean, the other name I was just going to chuck in quickly. I was writing about this earlier. And this is maybe, yeah. So it's Pizzi, and Benfica's winger Pizzi. So he is 30 years old, which does mean he's a bit old. You know, they only get a few years out of him. But last year, he still got 30 goal involvements. He's consistently been one of the highest ranked players in Liga NOS. No one's really, like you were saying, no one's really taken a chance on Pizzi. No one's really made that plunge to bring him over to sort of like a bigger league. But I guess, you know, he's coming towards the end of his career. This could be like the time where maybe if he is thinking of leaving Benfica, it could be now, because he still quite clearly is able to deliver. And apparently Tottenham are considering going for him at the moment. They're considering looking at him because he would be a useful option to have off the bench and maybe give them a little bit more creativity. So yeah, Pizzi might have a little outside shout for that.
Oh, interesting. Well, I mean, they do tend to like to shop in Portugal, but I agree. I think that they've overpaid several times over the last few years. And I worry a little bit about, you know, I remember them going for Nico Gaitán after a bunch of teams had thought about it and never quite gone for it. And I feel like, whenever a bunch of teams look at somebody and then decide against it, Atleti are the ones who come in and pay over the odds for them. And I don't know. I do still think there's an opportunity for them next year in La Liga. Like, I know that Real Madrid are very good this season, but Benzema's going to be a year older, and Real Madrid don't look like strengthening that much necessarily, though you'd assume that Hazard will be better next season. Barcelona are in the middle of a big rebuild and have brought in a manager who I don't particularly rate. So I kind of think, like, every year I know we say this, but I do think there's an opportunity for Atletico Madrid if they're sensible, if they're smart, and they nail a couple of key signings. So I don't know. Every year I hold out hope that they'll win the league again, but I'm destined to be disappointed, I think.
He is available for 1 year. Do you know what I mean? Just get him in. At least just get him in the situation where he could potentially score some goals. And I think he could... I reckon he would outscore anyone in the Atletico starting lineup right now. Do it. David Villa 2.0 is coming back again. That's my theory on that one. But yeah.
I would actually love to see
your face tells
that.
Me you don't agree.
That'd be great. I don't know. Like, it depends what you're going to pay him long a contract you're going to give him. If you're going to give him like a one-year contract with an option for a second, that you're not paying him that much, I'd kind of be up for it, because he feels like he's got a real Atletico Madrid vibe, Luis Suarez. Like, he's aggressive. Like, he wants to put in tackles and interceptions, and he's pretty creative as well. Like, his goal scoring numbers this season as well. I mean, admittedly, it's at Barcelona with Messi next to him, but he's like, they're still very good. They're better than Griezmann's.
I was going to say, I still think, if although he's lost a bit of pace in his legs, you saw that finish against Bayern in the semi-final. He still knows what he's doing in front of goal. And I think for Barcelona to be so blunt, just to like cut him off, there's a lot of teams out there that would snap him up quite happily on a short-term deal, because he will deliver you sort of at least, I reckon, 10, 15 goals minimum. But yeah, anyway, I think we've covered Atletico in quite detail there. So yeah.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Yeah, well, shall we move on to somebody at the opposite end of the pool? Should we go for Southampton, who are definitely going to be shopping in the bargain basement this summer? They've obviously already let Pierre-Emile Højbjerg go and brought in Carl Walker-Peters at right back, which is totally fine. But I think every single summer with Southampton, we're talking about the same thing, which is there's not enough creativity in the side.
I agree with you. I mean, I think they bought, was it Gineppo they bought in last season? They paid a lot of money from a Belgian side. Yeah. I think they paid about 16 million to bring someone in, and it didn't work out at all. So yeah, I think, I mean, looking at the options that we've suggested here, we've got 2 fairly sort of left field suggestions again. But you're right, they can't keep relying on sort of James Ward-Prowse and Nathan Redmond to come up with the answer. I think Che Adams actually grew into the end of last season. He began to show a bit of what he's about, yeah. But he's more of like a goal scorer, I think, than a creative player. So yeah, I mean, do you want to kick off with your suggestion first on this one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, like, I think that we've both kind of gone for Southampton type signings here, right? So we've gone for guys who you don't hear all that much about, though yours is higher profile than mine, who are like young, creative, and are kind of in between players. Like, they can play attacking mid, but they can also maybe contribute in a wide role or in a midfield role. And so I've gone for a guy called Josip Brekalo, who's at Wolfsburg right now. He came through Dinamo Zagreb's academy. He's Croatian. And obviously Dinamo Zagreb's academy has really had an amazing line over the last 10, 15 years in just churning out technical, versatile midfielders. You know, we've obviously seen guys like Kovacic, Modric, Brozovic, rather, like, come through that club. And Brekalo looks quite like a slightly different sort of player, but like he shares a lot of characteristics with those guys. He's been in Germany for 4 years, has been a starter for Wolfsburg in the last 2. Last season got 7 goals and assists in the Bundesliga, which doesn't sound that many, but he actually has really taken a step up over the last season, both creatively and in terms of getting his own shots. Like in 2018-19, he was taking or assisting about 3 shots a game, which is obviously nothing special. Last year, he was at 5. And what he is a through ball machine. he averages like, I think he's averaging something like 2 through balls every 3 games, which actually is very, very high. Through balls are pretty rare. And he's a good dribbler too, creating about 3 chances a game in Germany, which I think was the 4th best in the Bundesliga. And his expected goals per 90, expected goals and assists about 0.5 per 90, which would immediately make him one of the most creative attacking forces at Southampton. 6 goal contributions as well in 8 Europa League appearances, which I think is probably the level that Southampton kind of want to aim towards. Like that's really the sort of club they want to be, a regular Europa League contender, I'd say. And Brekalo, like, he looks like he's a creative passer, he's a good dribbler, he can play on the wing, he likes to cut inside from the left. I think that Gineppo, I wouldn't say that he's like a write-off or anything. Like, he didn't get enough minutes last season. I think it was about 1,000 in the end. But from what we saw of him, he looked like a good dribbler and probably looks like he could be a useful contributor for them in the long term. So I think if you had Brekalo and Che Adams and Jennepo and you've still got Danny Ings, that suddenly starts to look like a pretty decent attacking mix, especially for Hasenhüttl, who likes these hard-working kind of in-betweeny players, I think.
I'll give you what you're saying about what Hasenhüttl looks in players and stuff like that. But, you know, I think it's kind of similar why I've gone for my player. So, people who've been following Salzburg, so obviously they've really... Red Bull Salzburg, like, blown up in the last few years, produced some absolutely amazing players. And their next latest talent to come through is Dominik Szoboszlai. Forgive me any Hungarian viewers if I've pronounced that slightly wrong. But yeah, he's a 19-year-old left midfielder, which is already useful anyway, because I think it's probably harder to find some left-footed midfielders with this kind of talent. He's really stepped up since the club started shedding, you know, losing Erling Haaland, Minamino, he's just went to Liverpool. But yeah, Szoboszlai, he last season, he was the Austrian Bundesliga player of the season. He scored 12 times and had 18 assists in all competitions, which is unreal numbers. It's so good as well. He's also got Champions League experience. He didn't actually perform incredibly well in the Champions League, but you know, they had a pretty hard group with Napoli and Liverpool, but he did score against Genk and registered 2.4 shots per game in the competition as well. Salzburg bought him for about 500k only a couple of years ago, and his value on transfer market is already at the 25 million euro mark. So, you know, they're serious about how good this player is, even though he's coming out of the Austrian Bundesliga. I fully appreciate that it's not the most sort of high profile competitions to be performing in. That said, if you look at the teams that Salzburg sell their players on to, you know, they move them on a lot of the time into the German league with Wolfsburg. They sold Havertz Schlager to Wolfsburg. They've already sold their South Korean right midfielder, Juan. He's gone to Leipzig already this summer. And yeah, so big teams go after their players, and it's no surprise to see that AC Milan were close to a move for Szoboszlai. That was on the basis that Ralf Rangnick would come over and take over as coach, because it's exactly the kind of player that he'd be interested in. I feel like Rangnick and Hasenhüttl will come from a kind of the same school of thought in a lot of ways. And, you know, Hasenhüttl's got links with the Red Bull network. I'm surprised they're not interested, you know, because if 25 million euros is what they're asking for a 19-year-old who was already, that, you know, they're hugely excited about him within the Red Bull setup. He's already capped 8 times for Hungary as well. I think this is the kind of player that more teams be looking at. You know, if you Google his name, if you put his name in, there's all sorts of links with Arsenal, United and stuff like that, and people saying, why aren't people moving for this guy? Because quite clearly he's ready for the step up out of the Austrian Bundesliga. Is ready. Quite amusingly, I was having a look at the rest of their team. They've already got players ready and set to go to fill in these positions, which just shows how productive a production line the Salzburg really have at the moment. But yeah, I don't know if you've watched him at all and what you think of him, but I think for 19 years old, potentially 25 million euros, if that's a sign that goes well, that's like immediate growth on that player, and you can move him on in years more for plenty of money. So, yeah, I mean, what do you think of that signing?
I'd really like it. I mean, this is how I think Southampton kind of made their name. Like, again, the players that bigger clubs like look at but aren't quite prepared to take a risk on. Southampton would just go in and buy them. So we saw that when they bought Tadic in from Twente. We saw it when they brought in Sadio Mane from RB Salzburg originally. And I think there's a boss like... He's at the upper end of their price range, I think, right? Like 25 mil is what it was rumoured to be when Milan were interested in him. But I don't know if clubs like Arsenal are going to go and pay that for a 19-year-old. You know, like when Arsenal this summer, I think they'll say, well, we've got a 19-year-old attacking midfielder in Emile Smith Rowe. Even if Szoboszlai is better, we maybe need to keep that money for another position. Southampton do not have a position of need as significant as this one. And so if you're going to go and spend a big fee on a player, spending it on a 19-year-old who's already shown he can contribute at a high level seems like a great idea, because if he's decent, he'll probably be with you for years and you'll get plenty of use out of him and the price will be worthwhile. If he's amazing, you can get four years out of him and sell him at the age of 23, probably for a significant profit. That, to me, is exactly what Southampton should be trying to do. And that's how they originally kind of established themselves in the Premier League. I mean, whenever I look at players for Southampton, I always think it's always based on this idea of them as being a smart club who are able to find underpriced gems. And I think that that's fallen off a little bit in recent years. But they are still capable of doing it.
I agree with you, but that's why I think the recent signing of Mohamed Salisu is so good. I mean, it was he had a release clause of 10.5 million. He was playing week in, week out in the He was playing week in, week out in La Liga for Real Valladolid. And his name had been popping up for well over a year, but he was constantly linked with teams. If you look at our, if you go back through the sort of backlog of our transfer talks, you'll see his name bouncing around. I think you're right. I think they've suddenly got their house in order at Southampton, and they're starting to sort of rejuvenate and become the team they, the intelligent signings they were doing before. And I think Salisu is the start of that, which is why I think, you know, if you've managed to bag someone like Salisu for about 10 million, which let's face it, if it goes wrong, they sell him at a loss of like 3, 4 million. If it goes right, then they bank a lot of money on that kind of signing. And that's why they should be moving for someone like Szoboszlai again, because I think, yeah, it's a lot of money, but if it goes well, the risks, the reward is huge. But also, the other name I was considering was Milo Rashica, the Werder Bremen winger, who basically single-handedly kept Werder Bremen in the Bundesliga this season. I think that's an I think he's for similar money as Szoboszlai. I think he's available for Red Bull. RB Leipzig. They're interested in him as well. But I think that would be my other alternative as someone who they can maybe bring in of a similar profile with similar kind of ability as well. But yeah, you're right. These are the kind of signings they should be going for.
Well, yeah. I mean, I had a kind of central midfield shout, like based on the assumption that they'll need to replace Højbjerg, who I do think was their best central midfielder last season. I'm not a huge James Ward-Prowse fan, to be honest with you. I think he's fine. He doesn't quite have the defensive range I'd like, but I was kind of thinking about Amadou Diawara, who we've seen has been linked with Arsenal this summer. Supposedly Roma are happy to sell him for about 20 mil, which I do think is affordable for Southampton. Like, they've banked so much money over the last few years, they should be able to spend that. 22, he's a really good progressive passer. I think he was 17th in Serie A for passes into the final third last year, in a year when no one really paid attention to him. But good pedigree at Napoli and Roma, like really, really quick feet. Like, he so rarely gets caught on the ball. You know, like, often I think that is what that is one of those things where you really do need to scout like quite hard, I think, because you can see a player like, say, Granit Xhaka, who has a great ability to pass into the final third when he's comfortable on the ball, but he's so bad at getting the ball out of his feet that he's quite easy to close down. And Diawara doesn't have that at all. He's much smoother. And those are things that I think make the difference between you being a kind of lower like top league side, being good enough for, say, a side in the lower reaches of a top league, and being good enough for a side in the upper reaches. And Diawara, you know, like, very similar defensive output actually to Højbjerg, with about 4 tackles and interceptions a game, a bit less of a dribbler, but capable of dribbling. A big guy as well. Like, whenever I see him, I'm always surprised to find out that he's like 6 feet tall, I think, because he doesn't really look lanky. So I don't know, I think he'd be an interesting signing for them again. And I do think that Salisu needs to be the start of them getting back to their old ways of signing. Because, look, Danny Ings has been great for them, but they paid a lot of money for Danny Ings. And I worry a little bit about them overspending on guys who are kind of maybe 24, 25. I think they should be looking to spend less on guys who are like 19 to 22, just because the core of that side is obviously perfectly good. It's perfectly capable of staying in the middle of the Premier League. And the only way they're going to get higher than that, to me, is by taking some gambles and hoping a couple of them pay off. Because sure, that was how they did it before, you know, like they just happened to have, you know, Mane and Tadic pay off at the same time, as well as guys like Bertrand and Cedric Suarez, who were very reliable.
Yeah, no, I agree. They sort of married an excellent group of players that sort of come through their ranks for a while with some really niche signings, which all went well. I think maybe Dani Osvaldo was the beginning of it all going wrong in many ways there. Yeah. But I mean, they've got Harrison Reed coming back to join them, who was actually awesome at Fulham last year. I'm a Fulham fan, yeah. I don't bang on about him too much. But also, I mean, even if you look at Fulham, they've got Andre Frank Anguissa. I'm amazed no one's moved for him yet. Even going back to Atletico, I'm amazed that he haven't even looked at him in more serious consideration. I'm not sure he wants to play at Fulham at all. I'd be very surprised if he does, actually. But if Fulham are serious about wanting Harrison Reed, and that's the kind of move that would interest Anguissa. I don't know why that wouldn't be the kind of thing they could engineer. And like you said, that's the kind of gamble which they could be interested in. But yeah,
exactly. I mean, I'm intrigued to see where Anguissa ends up. I kind of hope he does play for Fulham next year, because I have my concerns about Fulham's squad. But
as do I. Let's move on to Roma then.
I was a little bit worried, actually, not to go too much into it, but I was a bit worried when I was watching Fulham in the playoffs, and I was thinking, man, a lot of these guys got relegated with Fulham before. But then again, I was actually looking at West Brom's squad today, and I thought, your two top scorers are Charlie Austin and Hal Robson-Kanu. Like, that is...
No, right after, in their sort of honeymoon period of getting promoted, they were handing out contracts left, right and centre. So like Nikos Cabano, who basically only had 5 good games last year, which all happened to be around the playoff, they've suddenly handed him a new deal. I've no doubt they'll hand Dennis Doyle a new deal. And it's just like, here we go again. So yeah.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
We'll see. I'd say anything above 15th next year I'd be happy with. But anyways, let's crack on with our final team. So, Roma, I think we're going to look at. So, yeah, we're going to start with centre-back because obviously they've lost Chris Smalling, which is a huge loss, actually, because he was awesome for them. I'm kind of annoyed. I kind of don't get why they're not just paying the money. I mean, it's 50-50 in terms of he is 30 years old. I also do think in Serie A you could get a centre-back. He could keep going to like 34 and still probably perform at quite a high standard. But I sort of understand why United are playing hardball, but it's a shame they can't marry that. I'd have loved to have seen that. But anyway, I think who's the first player that you've gone for who they should be looking to replace that Smalling role with?
I've gone for someone insanely young here, but he's just a guy I really like, which is Wesley Fofana out of Saint-Etienne. Obviously last season when people were thinking about defenders at Saint-Etienne, they're thinking about Saliba, who was, you know, spending that final year there before going on to Arsenal. But Fofana actually played more Ligue 1 minutes and was arguably, you know, just as impressive. He's 19, but he's 6'3". And he's really, really good in the air, which I always think is an interesting sign, because generally speaking, young players, even if they're big, don't tend to be great in the air. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're not strong enough yet. Maybe they just don't have quite the experience, and they can get buffeted around by big forwards. But I think he was 10th in Ligue 1 for aerial duels won a game. He was winning 5, and his aerial success rate was 2% off Virgil van Dijk's. So he's obviously a guy who knows how to use his body already. And at 19, you kind of think, okay, well, if he's got that ability now, even if he goes to Italy and it declines a little bit, you'd expect that by the time he's hitting his peak in 4 to 5 years' time, he'll actually be an extremely strong and difficult player to beat in the air. Tackles and interceptions wise, well, really active defender, kind of the opposite of Saliba there. Saliba has a decent amount of defensive actions, but he's not that guy who's going to go racing out of the back line to try and close people down. Fofana is much more like that. I think he was making 5 tackles and interceptions a game, which is really seriously at the high end of what you expect from a centre-back. That's the kind of stuff you see from a defensive midfielder, and completing over 80% of his tackles and interceptions as well, which is impressive. Not that much of a passer. Mm. Not like a guy who's going to split the defence, you know, with a long ball from the back. Or at least not at this stage of his career, he isn't. But Saint-Etienne, when Claude Puel came back, which I think was in October, one of the first things he did was try and settle a new contract for Fofana. But Saint-Etienne have basically no money. earlier this summer, Puel was saying, I don't know if we can sign players over 4 million quid. I don't know if we can do that. And to me, that suggests that if you go in with a decent bid for Fofana, as much as they may not like to do it, you can probably get him. And Roma do have the money to do it. And at some point, they're going to... I understand the value in getting these loan signings or whatever, but if Man United are saying, look, if you want Smalling on a permanent, you're going to have to pay us 20 mil. I just think it's much more sensible to put that money towards a young player. Like, if you're not sure about Fofana, I get it. But I think you should look at guys who are at the younger end of the... Like, some of the players who are going to go for, like, for 20 mil this summer, I think are vastly superior to Chris Smalling, as good as Chris Smalling was for them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think maybe the slight issue is that the other centre-half who played most of last season was Mancini, and I don't think he can't be older than about 22, 23. And I do think they need maybe a bit more of a commanding presence next to him. That said, my suggestion was Jean-Claire Todibo, 20 years old, so only a year older than Wesley Fofana. Obviously, it didn't really work out for him at Barcelona yet, but he did look good at Schalke on loan last year. So much so, they wanted to make the loan move permanent for 25 million euros, but push comes to the shove, they actually couldn't afford that in the end. So he's gone back to Barcelona. But, you know, he made 3.8 tackles and interceptions per 19, 2.6 clearances as well. And he had an 85% passing accuracy, which I think is probably about the bottom level of what you'd expect now from a top level defender. You know, I think if in the way that they're expected to play out now as a centre half, I think that's really sort of the lower level of what you're after. But he did look good. He hasn't actually played a ton of minutes for Schalke. But if they did manage to ease him away from Barcelona, because I don't think he's going to be playing there at all next year. I don't think he'll be able to break into that squad. I think they've already said that PK will probably stay, and they seem pretty set with Longley too. So I think if they could engineer a similar deal that saw, because Barcelona had a buyback clause of 50 million euros, and if they could engineer a similar situation with Todibo going to Roma, I think that'd be the perfect opportunity there, because all you have to do is take him on. If he is as good as he looked for Schalke last year, and I think playing for Roma would be the appropriate step up in that regard, I think he'd be playing Europa League football, then you've almost certain that if there was the opportunity to sell him back to Barcelona, you could make money on him again. But I completely agree what you said. If you're going to bother spending 20 million on Chris Smalling, you may as well look for a younger defender with similar pedigree lower down, and you know, because that's more of an investment, whereas like Chris Smalling would be shoring up the back for sort of a short-term period. But yeah, I think Jean-Claire Todibo, I think he looks really good. He looks classy. And I'm excited to see wherever he ends up next year, because I think next year could really be the season that he pushes on and becomes sort of the centre-half that he was sort of bought in to be at Barcelona but hasn't quite become.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, and it would be great if it was at Roma, because like my concern with Roma is that they're still quite reliant on these older players. Like last year, I think, weren't there three top scorers? Kolarov, Dzeko and Mkhitaryan.
Yeah,
and that is really worrying. Like I'm fine with them bringing in Mkhitaryan because he's probably the sort of player who will get an extended career as a result of playing in Italy. He's pretty hardworking. Like he's quicker than you'd expect. Like that makes sense to me. But I mean, I know that when we were talking about this, replacing Dzeko and Kolarov were big things, and I've got a Kolarov replacement, and you've got a potential Dzeko replacement, right?
Yeah. I mean, I should point out that I've just been writing a script which is looking at the best players outside Europe's top five leagues, which is why some of my suggestions have been a bit unique, let's say.
You've got your kind of like niche TIFO football suggestions.
Yes, it's true. But yeah, I mean, look, replace Dzeko up top. I've gone for Vedat Muriki. He plays for Fenerbahce. He's a Kosovan forward, 6'4". I think if you remember the game where England played Kosovo at the St Mary's, he looked pretty handy and he scored a penalty there. He's not the most glamorous looking footballer. He's a fairly blunt operator. He's a big lad. But he scores goals. He really does. And I heard a podcast of Damian Camoli, who was the former director of Fenerbahce. And he said, this guy's top draw. They're really excited by him. And Tottenham were linked with him quite a lot. They were looking at him as a possible backup to Harry Kane. But yeah, if you look at his stats from last season, he scored 15 times last year for Fenerbahce, which they had a pretty rubbish season, all things considered. That club's one of the big ones in meltdown at the moment. They've got absolutely no money. I mean, the state of money in Turkish football right now is abysmal. I think most of the teams are sort of a feather's width from going bankrupt. But yeah, I mean, season before that, he scored 17 goals with Rizespor as well. So it's back-to-back seasons where he's scored at a high level in the Super League, which isn't a bad league. He was winning 4.6 aerials a game, which you'd expect from someone at 6'4", but that was the most of any forward in the division. And also, he was taking more shots than anyone in the division 2, 3.6 shots per game. Yeah, 26 years old. Maybe not as young as you'd want to be looking for a forward, but still substantially younger than Edin Dzeko. And apparently he is available for around 18 million euros. I read that he's actually stopped going to training. He's trying to push through a move elsewhere. And Lazio have been linked with him. And Roma apparently have tried to sort of disrupt that last minute. So this is a transfer that actually could happen, which could be exciting. So yeah, let's see. I mean, like I said, he doesn't... When you watch him, you don't think, wow, this guy's a world-class operator. And I do think Dzeko's pretty slick. I'm a big fan of Dzeko. I think he's been brilliant there. But I think, you know, if you're looking for somebody who probably could get you goals, put the balls in the right position for him, then I think Mariki, he looks like a really decent outlet. And like I said, he took more shots than anyone in the division last year. Which shows that he is able to get into those positions. He's not just sort of like a poacher at the end of a big move. So yeah, it could be an exciting move. But I mean, they've also got Pedro coming in, who in my opinion is an upgrade on Mkhitaryan. I think Pedro, I've always enjoyed watching Pedro. I think he arrives at Roma with a better reputation than the one that Mkhitaryan left with when he went there from Arsenal, if that makes sense. So maybe that's why I'm more excited to see what Pedro can do. And I really hope that Justin Kluivert steps up this year as well, because I don't think he's really been particularly impressive since he's been. He shows like flashes of brilliance, but I think this could be maybe the season for Justin Kluivert to maybe show a little bit more and produce his sort of raise his goal scoring pedigree as well. But yeah, Mariki, that's my suggestion.
Well, yeah, they need one of those younger players to kind of make a step up, right? Because they've got Cengiz Under as well, and like we're yet to see one of them like really explode, like despite the fact they both get linked away all the time. Like the advantage of having guys like Dzeko and Mkhitaryan contributing at that level, I suppose, is that if you have shit come back from Leipzig and it looks like they're not going to make that deal permanent, then it's not like Dzeko disappears. It means that if you brought in Mariki, you'd have Mariki, Schick and Dzeko, and then you'll get a sense over a year of how good Mariki can be for you without having to like totally rely on him in every single game from day one. And that was kind of my thinking when I was looking at a Kolarov replacement as well. I was like, Kolarov's still going to play. Kolarov's not going to like drop off the face of the earth. Like, I think he got like 11 goals and assists last season, which is absolutely insane. So it's a good opportunity in a way to bring in a younger left back who can take some of those minutes away from him and maybe play in games where you need somebody who's got legs. But you know, isn't gonna just like bench him permanently. So I thought, you know, obviously Reguilon is still available. I'm amazed nobody's bought him yet. 20 mil supposedly Real Madrid want, which is just insane. Like I he's incredibly fast. He's a good defender, great dribbler, really creative, like perfect age. Like Reguilon should be a target for everybody who's looking for a left back. But failing that, they could look at Aaron Martin, who's been at Mainz for the last few years, Spanish fullback. I think he actually was the most creative left back in Europe by chances created per game, with like 1.8, decent dribbler too, 23 years old, really good in the tackle, like doesn't have huge defensive numbers, but when he goes in for a tackle, he wins the majority of them. Like, to me, he's much more of an all-rounder than Kolarov. He doesn't have that elite level goal scoring ability, but almost nobody does. And to be honest, if you're relying on goal scoring from your left back, there's probably something wrong with the way that you set up your squad. Plus Kolarov has taken pens for them, like, so I think that Martin might be an interesting signing for them. But again, Roma in a way are not dissimilar to Southampton. Like, generally speaking, they've actually been good at finding undervalued players, and it's only really in the last couple of years that I feel like they've gone back to this idea of like, let's just get in known quantities. Like, let's bring in Nzonzi, which was, I think, a terrible Monchi idea. Let's get Mkhitaryan, which, to be fair to them, has worked out well. But now, I don't know how long the Pedro contract is, but I'm a little concerned about that. So, yeah, I think that they'd be best served maybe getting in a couple of bargain signings to complement their more expensive, bigger contract gambles, I suppose.
No, I agree. I've not heard of Aaron Martin. I thought this was some like Norwich left back that you'd sort of plucked out. So when you said Aaron Martin, I was like, here we go. So, I tell you who you're on about here. But yeah, no, I agree with you. Reguilon, you're right. It's actually criminal that no one's snapped him up as well. I mean, there's big debate in the FD office about whether or not you should be paying 50 million for someone like Ben Chilwell when someone like Reguilon's available. But I mean, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I'm not quite sure what the financial situation with Roma is right now. They've sort of made a lot of inquiries. They clearly are willing to spend a bit of money on a defender. Whether or not they decide to shore up the centre-back or the left-back role first, it remains an issue, really. But you're right, Kolarov and Dzeko can't continue leading that team because at some point, it's just not going to work out. I mean, this year was the first season that we really began to see that. And I do think they'll manage better next year. But yeah, also exciting, like you said, Patrick Schick. Let's give him another season just to see just how good he can be too.
Yeah, but yeah, with those old players, they can't keep turning back time indefinitely, I suppose. this is an excellent segue.
No, I know. I was just thinking that.
On the topic of turning back time, before we started the show, we were talking a little bit about your plans for the weekend, and you're going to the cinema. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Fully booked. The IMAX. I'm going to go see Tenet. I'm buzzing. For people who remember me being on this podcast, which I'm sure there are many of you, we've discussed the cinema before, and I'm so excited for the cinema to come back. Tenet as well. What a return. What a grand return to cinema then. One of the most expensive independent movies ever made. Not a clue what it's about, really. Not sure anyone really does. Not sure Christopher Nolan really knows. But it looks sick. I'm a big Robert Pattinson fan. So I'm excited to see that as well. It's at the IMAX. My friends were like, oh, do you not think we could go somewhere cheaper? And I said, listen, I'm going to the IMAX to watch it properly. If you want to come with me, you can come with me. If not, I'll go by myself. I don't care. So, I mean, and they've all agreed to come with me now. But I don't know if you've read into it at all. I don't know if you've been following that movie's production and stuff, but it looks awesome. It looks really, really cool. And the reviews have been good, early doors. I think we were saying beforehand, you don't really... It's quite easy to like sit and really divulge over Christopher Nolan movies and try and make sense of them in a really heavy way. But I just think sort of just enjoy it for what it is. It's a visual spectacle. He does things which no one else really like attempts. And that, you know, if he has an idea in his head of how he wants to shoot something, he'll go and do it. He'll go put an IMAX camera on a wing of a Spitfire and fly that around filming, which is just bonkers. If you look at what he did in Dunkirk, the way that he filmed some of those dogfights there. And I don't think that really gets appreciated. Just the vision and the way that he like pulls it off is nuts. And already looking at Tenet, the amount of special effects going on. And this is the thing. He'll try and do as much as he can without special effects. He'll try and add those in at the end, but he's not a kind of bloke that would just rely on a green screen and sort of computer to really bring his vision to life. He'll do as much as he can and then add to it at the end. And that's why I'm excited to see what he's done here, because it looks like it's all like time travel. But yeah, are you going to go see it, or do you just consider this a bit of a load of twaddle? Would you not bothered about?
No, I'll probably see it because like it's literally the only thing on at the cinema. And yeah, like my Odeon Unlimited or whatever it is has been sitting like dormant for several months, and I just kind of want to go back. Plus our local Odeon, like, just luckily is an Odeon Lux, you know, with the recliner seats and where you're naturally socially distanced because like the chairs are so ridiculously big. So it's kind of perfect. So I think that and Trolls World Tour are the only thing on at the moment. So, but I would have definitely seen it. I mean, I'm not like... It's weird. Like, I simultaneously like most Christopher Nolan movies, but I also am not like a kind of raging Christopher Nolan fanboy like a lot of people are. I think you're right, though. Like, the best way to... The problem with Christopher Nolan is that I just want to enjoy it as like a really... good, like, well-made, fun, like, popcorn movie. And then I feel like every time he makes a film, like, someone wants to tell me how, like, how deep it is and how clever it is. That isn't what I want from a that's not what you want from like a $200 or $300 million movie. Like, you just want to be entertained. And I do think that I like that he's a little bit more ambitious with what he tries to do in that sort of film than the average filmmaker. So yeah, like, I'm quite pumped about it. I'm ready for the cinema to come back, because I don't know about you, but it's so limited what we've been able to do, like, just in our free time over the last few months. Like, I feel like we've gone through so many shows that we'd put off watching for like 3 years.
Yeah, I agree.
That now I need something. Need to get out of the house.
I'm rewatching Chernobyl, which is quite a miserable process. So I don't know why I'm subjecting myself to that twice. No, it is amazing. It is good. But no, I'm the same as you. I think there's only so many parks and bike rides I can go on at the moment. I'm excited for the cinema. And I'm the kind of bloke that goes by myself. So, I mean, suits me either way, really. So.
Oh, no, I approve of that. Like, I go rock climbing by myself and it's great. Like, I just put my headphones in and ignore everybody and, like, spend, like, an hour and a half doing it. So that's actually one of the things I miss. I miss going to the gym, like, just because I don't really think about anything.
That sounds like you in the office, though, Pat. That's, you know, I miss... True. I miss our morning hello and our evening goodbye, you know?
And then, like, dynamic. Me disappearing to the gym for, like, an hour and a half. Like, maybe I'll come back, like, do a bit of work, tell someone they're stupid, leave it, bye. Yeah. The ideal situation.
I mean, it's funny because it's true, that one. But, but no, I look forward to seeing you, you know, properly one day soon. But, yeah, no.
Yeah. Who knows if we'll ever see each other again. Thanks very much for being on the show this week, Henry. Is there anything that you would like to plug before we say goodbye?
No, like I said, I've got an EFD10 looking at some of the unique transfers outside of Europe's top five. You're going to get a lot of transfer-related content right now. The football's over for, 2 weeks? So, I mean, just enjoy how many times we can repatch a transfer top 10. So, yeah, it's going to be good.
Yeah, so make sure that you subscribe to this channel, though, if you would like slightly different content. And... obviously, as well, if you are not subscribed to it as a podcast, then sign up on Stitcher, iTunes, Spotify, whatever podcast app you use. Thanks very much for watching/listening, and we'll see you or be heard by you next time. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.